DN.
And a very pleasant good morning, good afternoon, or good evening to you on this Thursday, August the 28th, or happy weekend to those of you who are binge listening.
Absolutely.
I think I've covered all bases there. This is the Halifax Daily News with Jamie and Lisa.
And here's your dose of good news to start off. Van the Man has his new van. Remember we told you the story about Van Bernard?
Yes, we see him every year at the Walk for Muscular Dystrophy.
Absolutely. He is a firecracker. He has so much personality, and he has a muscular dystrophy type of disease, and he is in a wheelchair. And his family was in a real tight spot because Van's getting bigger, his chairs are getting bigger, but the family's minivan wasn't getting bigger. And his mom was having to physically lift him in the chair, and it was just a horrible situation. So they put together a video, and it went viral. A crowdfunding campaign soon followed, and they were able to raise the money that they needed to get this special van. Because, I mean, any normal minivan just wasn't going to cut it. They would have to retrofit it.
A van for Van. We were talking about that.
That was the campaign.
Were we talking about that on the radio, or was it just here on the podcast? When did they start it?
Just here in the podcast. But we had Van in the studio when we were doing the radio thing.
Sure. Yeah. I do believe that I was the videographer for his viral video of him singing the Lumineers song.
Oh, at the Walk for Muscular Dystrophy a couple of years ago.
Yeah, a few people took that video on the cell phone. I don't know if that was the video I took or not.
This week, the family rolled up to Steele on Windsor Street Exchange there. And the van was handed over to them, and boy, it is going to make a world of difference in this young man's life. Congratulations to Van and his family. Enjoy your new van.
Let's post a picture of the new van on our website or on Facebook.
Yeah, I think I've got a photo of him rolling up into the new van.
That's terrific.
Yeah, that'll be very cool. Oh, I almost hate to say this. I can barely get the words out. Lifeguard supervision and water quality testing at all municipal beaches, outdoor and spray pools ends this Sunday.
There's a sure sign of fall.
Yeah, you want another one?
Yeah. No, no.
Weekly green card collection will stop on Friday as well, August the 29th. And bi-weekly collection once again from the 30th on.
But the beauty of living in Nova Scotia, though, is this is the best time of year.
Yes.
Other areas of the country, as soon as fall hits, it starts to get miserably cold. Because we're surrounded by ocean, the warm weather lasts. The fall foliage is gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
This really is the time of year to be in Nova Scotia.
And David Phillips with Environment Canada says we have lots of good stuff heading our way. Some of the numbers are in, and our weather this summer didn't reach the record-breaking extremes of the last couple of years. And David Phillips says, really, in Nova Scotia, we don't have a lot to complain about. And it was a good balance of sun and rain.
Yeah, we don't need extremes. You know, with extreme hot, you're inside with fans going everywhere. That's kind of miserable.
Yeah.
Extreme cold, you don't want that. Extreme rain, you don't want that. You just kind of want to walk outside and be pleasantly heated by the sun, have everything room temperature. And that's kind of what we had most of the summer.
Pretty much it. We had that spell of humidity, David says, in July. But August, the average temperature has been 18.6 degrees Celsius, which is pretty much bang on of the normal. The normal is 18.5.
Mm.
And he says, you know what? It doesn't seem like much, but it is, you know, 1 degree can make a huge difference. So even though summer got off to a slow start, we've got a lot of local weather-dependent businesses who say that their numbers went way up for July and August. And
I don't really think summer had a slow start. I just think we bypassed spring altogether.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. David Phillips says September, October, going to be warmer and drier than normal. Says that we're stuck on this milder than normal pattern, and the fall looks very, very good, he says. Oh, I saw this and just made me laugh. Anybody who thinks that animals are stupid, get a load of this. The world's first live broadcast of a panda birth has been called off after experts said the mother involved may have been faking the pregnancy to get better conditions, better care, and better food.
Good on her.
Now, phantom pregnancies apparently are common with giant pandas, but this 6-year-old panda in China could be exhibiting learned behavior that marks her out as being smarter than the average bear. She started showing signs of pregnancy, including reduced appetite and sort of reduced mobility back in July. And that was the point that she was picked to star in this very heavily publicized first ever live birth. But they've been watching her now for 2 months. And lo and behold, all the tests have come back that she is not pregnant at all. And I guess what happens is fake pregnancies are not uncommon with pandas, and apparently it can be caused by hormonal changes. But after showing the initial signs, the mothers-to-be are moved into single rooms that have air conditioning, they have round-the-clock care, they get more buns, fruit, and bamboo. So some clever pandas actually have used this to improve their quality of life. So
I might use that if I get more buns, fruit, and bamboo.
So there
buns,
you go.
By the way, buns, fruit, and bamboo. That sounds like something you'd get at a hotel on one of those specialty channels. Tonight yeah. only for $10.99, buns, fruit, and bamboo. Look at this. Got another email from Perry Faulkner from Pet Ride.
Oh, hey, let me guess. He's nominated you for Douchebag of the Week.
No, he hasn't. He never get me going on slow traffic and left lanes. Yeah. No, actually, he has nominated a douchebag of the week.
Oh, do tell.
Well, I'll read it to you. I'd like to nominate the hopped up arse munch in the black Honda who honked and gave us the finger while we were pulled over helping to push a dead car off Main Street.
Oh, my God.
I hope the next buzz cut you get, the barber amputates something off of your disrespectfully rude ass face.
Nice.
Perry Faulkner. Eloquently written. I
Very
love that.
Very nicely
yes.
done, yes.
You know what? That nomination is up there, and so far, you're leading.
My God, hard to believe. Labor Day weekend is almost upon us, and the 2014 Halifax Labor Day Rally March and Barbecue is set for Monday. They're going to have the barbecue, the family picnic at the South Commons Triangle. But it starts at 10:30 in the morning on Monday with the rally at Victoria Park, Spring Garden, South Park Street. And then at 11:30, they march from Victoria Park to the South Common Triangle. Noontime is when all the fun and food begins. So a lot of labor unions get out for that and expect to see a lot of politicians there as well.
Predominantly NDP.
Actually, some of the speakers include Rick Clark, president of the Nova Scotia Federation of Labor. And there's going to be music as well. Joe Murphy and the Water Street Blues Band will be playing starting at noon. So saw this in Time magazine. Quite interesting. Scientists have studied it, and they have determined that being conscientious is the one trait that rules them all in terms of predicting somebody's future success. Now, this is both in your career and personally.
What was that? Sorry, I wasn't listening to you.
Exactly.
I was drifting off there.
Being conscientious. And
what's that mean?
They define it as being efficient, organized, neat, and systematic. And it's the one trait of the personality that apparently can determine how successful you are in your life.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
I know. But conscientious, they include in that elements like self-discipline, being careful, self-organization, being deliberate, meaning the tendency to think carefully before acting, and the need for achievement. So how...
You know, I almost thought I had one there. I thought you were going to say a need for a cheeseburger.
Oh.
And I was going, yeah, that's me. Achievement, no? Damn.
So how...
Boy, you really won the lottery when you married me, didn't you, hon?
How conscientious would you describe yourself as being?
I'm sorry, I missed that. What were you saying?
I know.
Hey, the 24th annual Atlantic Fringe Festival begins today and runs through September 7th. And you know what bothers me about the Fringe Festival here in Halifax? It just hasn't caught on. Now, tonight at Neptune Theatre, we start off with a smorgasbord sampler featuring very brief snippets of shows from the whole program.
Okay.
And that's at 7 o'clock tonight. But you know what? I'll give you a bit of history of the Fringe Festival, because being from Edmonton, this is huge. Mm. It all started off in Edinburgh, in Scotland, where they had the Edinburgh the Drama Festival.
Right.
And these local people thought, you know, how come all these people are coming in and doing these plays, these huge productions, and we local people can't perform our stuff? So they had the Fringe of the Edinburgh Drama Festival, and they called it the Fringe Festival, which is kind of like off-Broadway, you know, during this festival. And it became so big that it became its own thing, the Fringe Festival. Mm. And then Edmonton, Alberta decided to jump on that bandwagon and do it as well. So they were like the second one to do this.
Okay.
So in Edmonton, it started off by just getting venues, places that people didn't use for theaters, like basements of buildings and things like that. But they had a central area, the gazebo, and it was in Old Strathcona, an area of town that, you know, not all that utilized. Mm. And you went there and you got the program and you could check to see what plays were on. And it was local people putting on plays.
Yeah.
And tickets were nothing, like a buck or a couple of bucks.
Exactly.
And as long as you paid your entrance into the Fringe Festival, which wasn't all that much, you could take in whatever you got at the door. So you could charge whatever you wanted. You know, but if you wanted a crowd, you'd keep the price down. It was free enterprise at its best.
Yeah.
Well, that has grown, and that central gazebo courtyard area now has all of the food trucks around there. There's entertainment outside. There are jugglers. It's a festive atmosphere.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and it's great because you can go and see a production that might be 40 minutes long, and you leave that one. You go, you grab a drink, and then you say, hey, there's another play starting in 15 minutes. Let's go see that one. And it's within a walk away. It's perfect.
And people are now coming from around the world to try to be in the Fringe Festival, but they still have that local element where, you know, if anybody can, you know, let's put up a curtain and put on a play. That's what I liked about the Fringe Festival.
Yeah.
And it was this one area of town. And as you said, when you went there, you were completely submersed in all of this Fringe Festival stuff. Yeah. I mean, you go to the Fringe Festival and that's just, you know, what it's like.
Well,
here in town, here in Halifax, you don't really know what plays are on, when they're on. And I'm not cutting down the organizers of the festival, but you've got to have a central location.
Yeah.
That is the important part. You have to have a place to meet, to gather, to compare notes.
Mm.
I mean, to talk to other people. What do you think of this play? You know what? You should really see that because there's an improv group that does. And you have everything from stand-up comedy to improv to very serious plays to one-act plays. Everything you could possibly imagine is at the Fringe Festival. And we've got all of that here in Halifax. We have so much talent. But it's just kind of, it's spread out. So you say, well, where's this one? Well, it's down at the end of Barrington. Might as well get in the car so we can go down to, like the different venues are so spread apart, which is such a drag because it is such an incredible festival. It's such a great idea.
Such a great showcase of talent and for writers as well, because a lot of people use the Fringe Festival to introduce their newly written productions.
Without a doubt. If we could just get this Fringe Festival going, I don't know how to jumpstart the Halifax Fringe Festival.
Hmm.
And I'm sure there are a lot of people who are working within the Fringe Festival who said, what do you mean jumpstart? This is great. I mean, we're doing fine. And you are. You're doing a good job. But it just has not taken off like it has in other places.
It hasn't inspired the masses.
You know, God love them. These people are trying their best to make this Fringe Festival work, but you need all the venues within walking distance.
Yeah, it's got to be in a central location.
Hmm. You know, show of hands out there when you're listening to this podcast. How many people have actually been to a play at the Fringe Festival? 1, 2, 3. Okay. So more than I thought, but still not that many.
Well, get out there. It starts tonight.
Yeah, tonight is a perfect opportunity to get a sampler of what is going to be on there. And it's at Neptune Studio Theater, 7 o'clock. And let's see, some of the plays, How I Lost My Virginity at 29 and Other Embarrassing Tales. That's from San Francisco. Mabel's Last Performance from Ottawa features a feisty ex-actress as she plans her escape from the nursing home. And The No Bullshit History of Canada. That comes from Montreal.
Oh, I love it.
And also there's a local show, a Merit Award-winning show, Whale Riding Weather, about an intergenerational love triangle. Fairy Tale Swap. The men are in the traditional Princess and Sleeping Beauty role.
That's funny.
And there's a popular belly dancing show, Serpentine Sideshow. I mean, seriously, there is something for everyone.
Yeah, that is diverse.
For the full program and ticket information, just go to AtlanticFringe.ca. I highly recommend you grab that program, see something there that tickles your fancy, get out and support the Fringe Festival. Let's make this thing work here in Halifax. So we're going to give you time to do that right now, and we'll be back tomorrow, Friday, here in the Beaver Bank Bunker.
Until then.